For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Limits. Did you like the limericks I was singing to you over the break?
Yes, I thought it was even more special when I was trying to clip up a bunch of Tomlin quotes with Omar Khan, and you made it known about singing about Paul Bart the Mall Cop, and if I like Mentos, and all kind of other things.
Do
that
you
I'm
like
trying
Mentos?
To
if I offer you right now, and I'm working on a iced coffee here,
still like working on it.
I worked on it in the past tense. It's this iced sweet cream coffee. And I ordered a little one and the lady gave me a keg of it and I just drank it. I feel like I could be arrested right now if I got behind the wheel off this stuff. Anywho, if I offered you a Mento or a Rolo, what would you take, Limits?
Ooh, maybe a Mento. I don't know. I don't eat those types of mints. I like the lifesaver mints.
A Rolo is not a mint. It's chocolate and caramel.
Well, that's how you know.
You've
I've never eaten
had a
one
Rolo?
Of those before.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Limits.
Joe?
Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Here we go. Something has happened here.
Oh,
are we okay? Can
yes.
everybody hear me?
Everybody can hear you. Everybody can hear me.
All right. Okay. Good. Then we forge ahead. Forget about Rolos and Mentos. Let's get back to the draft.
Please.
And quarterbacks and what Tomlin and Omar Khan told the public today. And do you have the clips or should I read some of them?
So I'm starting to come through a bunch of it. And what I do have is Omar Khan talking about options on the table at quarterback. And they were a little bit hesitant to answer some questions about quarterbacks, but there is a couple of things about Aaron Rodgers as well.
Well, let's get to those in a moment. I think probably the most significant thing that was said so far was Mike Tomlin was asked, does the Rodgers situation have any impact on your strategy or approach in the draft? He said, quote, it does not. What I'd like to know is, was either...
situation have any impact on your strategy or approach?
It does not.
There you go. That put life to the words I just said, and thank you, Limits. What I'd like to know, did anybody ask either one of them, is there a deadline for this guy? Is there any concern? Is this going to happen? When do you need to know by? Okay, I get it. It won't affect your draft, which I actually believe... Do you believe that? That it's not that whatever Rodgers does not affect what they do? I do believe it for the simple reason that Rodgers will be maybe a 1 year guy. Certainly he's not going to get any guaranteed money beyond that, I don't think, if he comes here. So I believe them on that. Do you?
I believe it as well. I don't think that it's really going to have much of a bearing on them, especially if Sanders or Dart is there at 21.
Can you find, I haven't seen anything on X or any place else where somebody said or asked, is there a deadline? Are you still confident that Aaron Rodgers will be your quarterback? I saw somebody asked Tomlin, would he be okay? I think this was from Ray Fittipaldo. Would he be okay if Rodgers misses OTAs and other team activities? And he said, I haven't thought ahead that far, was his answer to that. I don't know how encouraging that is, but that's what he said. I haven't pondered that, was the exact quote there. And then Omar Khan saying, probably more inclined to move back in the draft than up in the draft, I guess because of, you know, resources that they have to trade is how I took that. You?
Yeah, I'd say so too. And
limits?
I do have a clip that pretty much addresses that a little bit in a question that was asked that I have right here that I'll play for you.
Called training camp a line of demarcation with Aaron Rodgers. Does that mean you're willing to let it play out until that point, possibly reaching training camp?
To be quite honest with you, I don't know that I meant that specifically for him or the circumstance. I'm just saying in general, you know, when you report to training camp, man, it's a line of demarcation for development of a group individually and collectively.
That's the line of demarcation. What was the question there, Limits? I didn't hear the question.
Basically, is there like any time frame, timeline in particular for Rodgers to be able to be here and when they want him to be here with them?
So it sounds like training camp is their line of demarcation, yes?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much training camp is that deadline, which again is just so far down the road.
Well, yeah, I would think if somebody really wanted to be here, they would get here long before training camp, wouldn't you?
And no doubt about it. Like, I would want it to have happened already. Like, by now, done, signed. And does that mean that they wouldn't draft a quarterback Thursday? Omar Khan said that they're going to have four quarterbacks on the roster, which makes me think it's very likely now for them to draft a quarterback the longer this Rodgers thing continues to span out, because it just creates more uncertainty.
This is unbelievable. I mean, activities start this week, if I'm not mistaken. And again, I would think if you wanted to learn, like he's not just, I don't think he's just going to walk in here like he did with the Jets and run his own system. He's certainly not going to have a handpicked coordinator like Nate Hackett. He's not going to be bringing in his own receivers. He's not going to have the run of the franchise, I don't think. So that means he has to learn new terminology, a completely new offense. He doesn't strike me as a guy who wants to do that. I didn't hear that on his appearance on McAfee. He strikes me as a guy who thinks that might be a big old pain in the ass, and he's got too much in his life going on right now. Is that what you heard, Limits?
It's entirely what I heard. He sounds like a guy that is ready to hang it up, retire, hang out in Malibu, be with his family, and help out with his family, whatever they need. Despite, like, he's showing a lot of conflicting signals because he's traveling for 6 hours to meet with the Steelers. It wants it to be all undercover, so a lot of people don't know about it. And then he's throwing with DK Metcalf. He's saying some complimentary things about the Steelers, but nothing to make you seem like he wants to commit to them. But the way, I mean, if you look at all the pros and cons, everything that Rodgers has thrown out there, he's showing a little bit of both, but I think he's still leaning in terms of retirement based on what he said on McAfee.
He seemed to be obsessed over with the Jets about leaks and things getting out of the building. I wonder what he thought of the fact that that was supposed to be a covert mission and people knew about it even before he got there and reported it. Just wondering about that. Tomlin said he's known Deion Sanders for a long time, according to Ray Fittipaldo's account here. It was the first time he met Shador, and Tomlin said it was, quote, a very normal visit and a very productive one. You played earlier, Aaron Wilson, who's covered the league for a long time, saying it was not a good visit. Others have said it was. Dulac said it was a really good visit. And people believe, I think the majority of people who cover the league believe there's great interest on the Steelers' part. Let me ask you this. We've talked about our preferences when it comes to who they pick. Apparently, they have a first-round grade on Dart. Various accounts will tell you they love Milrow and Sanders. Who do you think, if you injected Art, Mike, Omar, and Andy Weidel with Truth Serum, do you think... Who do you think each one would say? What would be the consensus there? Who do they want?
Man, I would say Tomlin wants Shedeur Sanders. That's who Tomlin would pick. I think that you might be able to find, I think Omar might be in the same category. Are we keeping Aaron Rodgers out of this? We're just going draft only guys?
Yeah. We're going Milroe, Sanders, Dart.
I would say maybe Andy Weidel would want Shedeur as well. Maybe Dart, because Dart's pretty mobile too. Like, Sanders has some mobility, but Dart can really move. Like, can they make Dart into a similar quarterback as Jalen Hurts that relies on a good offensive line, a defense, and is a good quarterback but is not a superstar?
But I think they want Dart. I think they want Dart, and I think they're going to take Dart. How do you like that? That's, please, before anybody reports that Pittsburgh broadcaster says Steelers will draft Dart, I know nothing, and neither does anybody else, by the way. If we base that on them choosing Kenny Pickett when it was reported that there was zero chance that would happen. I just have a feeling with the time that they've spent with Jackson Dart and with the style of quarterback that he is, that he is the guy they want. I saw Jordan Reed from ESPN is the latest to mock Jackson Dart to them at 21. That's my feel of the situation, knowing what everybody else knows, which is absolutely nothing. And so even when Omar says, yeah, we're more likely to trade back than up, you believe nothing. You believe less than nothing, no matter what you hear this time of year. You believe less than nothing from any of these guys on any team when we're 48 hours away from the draft. It's ridiculous that they even have a news conference and get asked questions like that.
Yeah, for the most part. And the fact that Tomlin just seems so hesitant to answer some of these questions about the quarterbacks, too. I wonder if they're just trying to keep it so under wraps based on what they did with Pickett, throwing out there, hey, Malik Willis. The Dulac report, there's no way that they pick Kenny Pickett. I wonder if they're just trying to throw people off the scent of that, too, depending on what quarterback it is. But the fact that there is multiple guys, like we're talking three at this point, if you factor in Milroe, they're really not tipping their hand to anything. It could be any of the three guys. If they trade back, I don't think it's Dart or Sanders, but they could trade back and Milroe still be available late in the draft where they can accumulate that second-round draft pick or that third-round pick.
And then there's Tyler Shuck, who's older than Ron Cook, if I'm not mistaken.
He's like Brandon Whedon.
Fan Twitter, he's older than Kenny Pickett. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can talk to Limits on the old text line. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Tony Pauline coming up next on the fan hotline, a really good draft guru. We'll see where he has the Steelers going at pick number 21. I want to hear that clip one more time, Limits, if you would. Tomlin on Aaron Rodgers and the idea of a timeline. There, I had a little bit of buzz in my ear when that was happening, so I'd really like to hear that clearly, if you wouldn't mind, of course.
Very kindly, I add.
Called training camp a line of demarcation with Aaron Rodgers. Does that mean you're willing to let it play out until that point, possibly reaching training camp?
To be quite honest with you, I don't know that I meant that specifically for him or the circumstance. I'm just saying in general, when you report to training camp, man, it's a line of demarcation for development of a group individually and collectively.
So, okay, I'm interpreting that as that's the deadline for Aaron Rodgers. Am I wrong to do that, Limits?
No, I don't think so.
How are you interpreting that?
That's the way I'm looking at it. Yeah, right around training camp. Because, I mean, if he's not here until, like, the middle of camp, what are we doing here? They're not going to be able to install a whole offense with him.
Well, there's no way he would just show up in the middle of camp, even if it's Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I mean, training camp is late enough, and it's too late. When you're learning an entirely new system, terminology, et cetera, and I realize you can do some of that via modern technology, I get it, but come on, to not show up until then would be ridiculous. What did Art mean when he said we're not waiting forever? Forever, to me, would be waiting until camp. This is getting ridiculous. It is. And if you heard the guy the other day on McAfee, it was all about him. It was how he was wronged in New York. It was things like, well, why wouldn't the Jets want to pick my brain? What? Why would they? What is there to pick? Like, for you to evaluate the organization for us? You were the organization. You came in and ran it for 2 years. You hired your own coordinator. You brought in your own players. You ran your own offense. Why? He thinks everybody wants to pick his brain because he knows things that nobody else does, and he's a genius. That's about the last brain I'd want to pick on earth right now is his. They basically said, get the hell out of here. And he was insulted, and they wanted to do it in person because they obviously felt that's the way to do it. And if they had done it by phone, he would have said, like he did, somebody dragged up a tweet from 2013 where Rogers said something to the effect of in person and then the greater than sign symbol, in person always greater than on the phone. So you know he would have ripped them for basically parting ways via phone. So they weren't going to win no matter what. He's the victim no matter what. He seems to have no idea what he wants to do at the moment. Like I said yesterday, if you and I were on a job interview, no matter how accomplished we were, I think the last line we'd probably use if we wanted the job was, oh, by the way, if you want to move on to somebody else, you go right ahead. I got no problem with that. That usually doesn't clinch the job for you, Limits.
No, and it would basically make them want to move on faster than you'd even have a consideration.
You'd think, except the next day, the head coach is essentially saying, yeah, we can wait till training camp. That's what I heard anyway. Let's hear from Tony Pauline next. He is a draft guru. I can't wait to hear who he thinks the Steelers are taking at 21, if they even stay at 21. And there's also a lot of intrigue at the top of the draft with Adam Schefter reporting that the Browns and Giants are basically open for business right now as far as trading those picks. Listen, if I'm the Browns, I got two studs on the board in Hunter and Abdul Carter. I think they would be crazy to trade back in the draft. How do you feel about that?
They need to take one of those two. There are very, very good talents that can help them build their roster in the North.
I agree. And I realize the Watson trade did enormous damage to their talent pool, their prospect pool, so to speak. But man, you win with stars. And I think both of those guys, either of those guys, guaranteed to be a star, assuming good health. You win with stars. Of course, you also win with quarterbacks, and they have Kenny Pickett right now. I don't think they're going to shock us and take Sanders. Do you?
I am growing more and more likely into that category by the day.
What?
I am.
Really?
I think this is a realistic possibility, Joe. And I think this is the most convinced now than ever that they are potentially going to pick a quarterback. Like, I wouldn't bet all my money on it, but I do think it's very possible, and that freaks me out because I don't want them to do it.
Wait, you don't want who to do it?
The Steelers.
I'm talking about the Browns.
Oh. Sorry, I was looking at something. The Browns.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I apologize for my distractiveness as I was trying to get this stuff ready for Pauline.
That's okay, Limits. I need you present and accounted for. I've done the same thing. Ron did the same thing. He was only present for 10% of the show. I was trying to decide, I'm out at Studio B in Monroeville, whether I miss Ron or not. You know, like, of course, I say I miss him, but what are my honest feelings as I sit here? And he used to be right next to me. Do I miss Ron or don't I? I can't.
I think you do.
I think I do. He's a good man. We had some laughs in here. I remember I came in once and he had a donut and coffee ready for me. Of course, he didn't buy it, but he had it ready for me, which I appreciated.
It's the thought that counts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out at Studio B in Monroeville, Bowser Chevy, having the time of my life here. We heard a little bit from Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin from their address to the media today. We're building toward the drama of this draft. I guess this is the good side of it, that the Steelers still haven't found a quarterback, is that there's nothing really like quarterback intrigue going into a draft. I hope this isn't repeated every couple of years into the next decade, but we're here. So it's interesting. It's dramatic. What are they going to do at pick 21 or perhaps above pick 21? Here to talk about that on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, is Tony Pauline, editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKeeda.com. That's sports, KEEDA.com, SportsKeeda.com. All kinds of interesting stuff to read there. And Tony, I appreciate you joining me here. And some of your recent content includes the Steelers really liking Shedeur Sanders. And according to your sources, people around the league feeling that that would be a good fit. Do you think this will happen at pick 21? Will he be there or will they have to go up to get him if they want him?
No, I don't think they're going to have to go up to get him if they really want him. They may make a move upwards because I think Atlanta and Arizona at 15 and 16 would look to trade down. My reporting was that Mike Tomlin is in favor of the team drafting Shedeur Sanders. Mike Tomlin, Shedeur Sanders is Mike Tomlin's guy. Now, whether or not he's going to have the final say or not, you know, I don't know. But more than a week ago, I had posted that information that Shedeur Sanders was Mike Tomlin's favorite. He'd like to see him draft, and that Tomlin is fine going into the season with Mason Rudolph, and it seemed like, you know, a good situation where they could start the season with Mason Rudolph and then, you know, ease Shedeur Sanders into the lineup when they feel he's ready, because Shedeur Sanders is not a week one starter in the NFL for a variety of reasons. And then just yesterday, I had posted over the weekend, over the Easter weekend, I had talked to people, and they felt that, of all the coaches, Deion Sanders would probably give Mike Tomlin a break. And what I mean by that is, going back to the Shrine Bowl, I had been reporting that there was some uneasiness about teams looking to draft Shedeur Sanders, that his father, Deion, obviously the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, would be very vocal and critical of a team that drafts him and is not developing or is not doing the things they think he should be doing, Deion should be doing with Shedeur Sanders. And there was a lot of stress and there was a lot of concern about that. And the information that I got is, the feeling is Deion would probably lay back on the criticism of Mike Tomlin if things don't go well for Shedeur Sanders, which is eventually what's going to happen.
Tony Pauline of SportsKeeda.com. Well, I can tell you, if he's Mike Tomlin's guy, then he'll be on the Steelers if he's available. If that's what Mike Tomlin gets, what Mike Tomlin wants in this organization. But tell me this, Tony. Give me a breakdown on Shedeur Sanders. What do you like the best about him, and what are your major concerns?
Well, obviously the bloodlines. He's football smart. He's got the mindset to be a quarterback. I think what I don't like about him is, you know, he's this average athlete with an average arm. He's not, you know, he tries to throw his way out of trouble on Saturday, you know, at Jackson State, which was easier to do, and then Colorado, which was much more difficult to do. He's not going to be able to throw his way out of trouble in the NFL, you know, making desperate passes because of the lack of arm strength. I think fundamentally he also needs a lot of work. If you watch him, he throws off his back foot. He throws with poor footwork. He runs backwards sometimes when he's being rushed. So fundamentally he needs a lot of work from the ground up. What I don't like about Shedeur Sanders is, I've been in this business for a while, and when it comes to the quarterback position, I like quarterbacks that have shown progress in their game entering the draft, which is what Cam Ward has done this year, which is what Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix and Bo Nix did last year. The 2024 film on Shedeur Sanders is not much better, if it is better at all, than the 2023 film, which for me is a red flag.
So, Tony, if you were picking, I would imagine Cam Ward would be your first choice here. Who would be your second choice among all these quarterbacks? And maybe we're thinking about somebody. I saw a headline on your site. I don't think the story was written by you, where Tyler Shuck was very highly regarded by a bunch of people. Who would be your second choice and why?
Well, I mean, I still have Shedeur Sanders as my number two quarterback, then Jackson Dart. Tyler Shuck, you know, I had heard through his pro day that there was some conversation in the league that he could be the second quarterback drafted after Cam Ward. I've never verified that, but that opinion has been out there for a while. But for me, it's still Shedeur Sanders is my number two quarterback.
What do you think of Dart? Because he's my guy.
Like his size, I like his head. I like the way he commands the offense. My concern about Dart is, you know, it comes out of a Lane Kiffin offense, which is kind of, he's going to need work before he's NFL ready. That offense has not produced a lot of NFL quarterbacks. He's a little bit slow moving his head from the primary receiver. So I think even with Jackson Dart, I think Jackson Dart's got a good amount of upside. He's got a nice frame. But again, like Shedeur Sanders, I think he's going to need some work before he's ready to step underneath center. I think with Tyler Shuck, the appeal for Tyler Shuck is after Cam Ward, he's probably the most NFL ready. I mean, the guy's a seventh-year senior. He's played on three different teams in college. He's coming off a real good year. He's had a lot of inconsistency in his game. He's had some injuries during his college career. There's 4 years that are missing. But I think teams view Tyler Shuck as, of all the quarterbacks in this draft, not named Cam Ward, he's probably the one that's going to be ready to go the earliest in their NFL career.
Tony, let's talk about the top of the draft and intrigue up there. I think it's widely assumed that Cam Ward's going to go to Tennessee. Then we have the Browns and the Giants and reports out there that they're fielding offers, et cetera. What do you think happens with those two teams? There's intense interest here, of course, in what the Browns are going to do.
I think the Browns are going to take Hunter. I reported last week that there's some thought in the building. They could look to Abdul Carter. Don't know about that after that, you know, huge contract they gave to Myles Garrett in the offseason. I think any team at the top, you know, is going to field offers to look to trade down. You're drafting in the top five, the top six, even the top 10, because you're a bad team and you need a lot of players. And, you know, Abdul Carter's not going to throw the Giants over the edge, to the next level. I don't think Travis Hunter's going to do the same for the Cleveland Browns. So I think it's just normal for those teams to really look, you know, to basically dangle those picks out there to see if somebody's a San Francisco who really wants a pass rusher and has 11 picks, if they would be willing to, you know, part with a lot of selections and you can get a lot of draft capital. I would be surprised if either the Giants or the Browns move out of the third or second spot, respectively.
So those are two of three other teams that most people believe are at least quarterback needy at 2, 3, and 9 would be the other one, is the Saints. So do you think Sanders will be on the board when the Steelers pick at 21?
Well, I do for a couple of reasons. I mean, the Giants and the Browns are quarterback needy, but they also have a general manager and a coach that are on a very short leash that have to, if they don't have to win in 2025, they've got to be very, very competitive in 2025 to keep their jobs. And they're going to need immediate impact from this draft. And Shedeur Sanders doesn't offer immediate impact, especially when you compare him to Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. So I don't think that the front offices in those organizations are drafting a Shedeur Sanders for 2 or 3 years down the road where they might not have a job come December if they don't turn their organizations around. As far as the Saints are concerned, early on I had him going to the Shedeur Sanders mock to the Saints before the news injury about Derek Carr came out. There's been no finality on that situation. And I still think that, you know, at 9, there will be players, whether it be a Tyler Warren, whether it be a Kelvin Banks, players that are available to the Saints that are much higher rated, and it would be a massive mistake to reach for a quarterback because, you know, you need one, especially a quarterback who, in my opinion, isn't really going to help you all that much in 2025.
All right, so then to be clear in the end, to sort of bring this full circle, you don't think the Steelers will need to move up to take Sanders? You think he'll be there at 21?
I would be very surprised if they have to. I mean, maybe they feel they need to if they really want to acquire him. Like I said, picks 15, Atlanta Falcons pick 16. I don't think they'd have to make a big move up because, I mean, you look at the teams, you know, selecting Dallas, Miami, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Arizona. I mean, those teams are not going to be selecting quarterbacks. And even the teams who select immediately after the Steelers, the Chargers, the Packers, the Vikings, the Texans, they're not going to be moving up to get in front of the Steelers to get a quarterback. And I don't think any team early in the second round who did not get a quarterback at the top of round one is going to make a half a round jump to get in front of the Steelers for Shedeur Sanders when there's very likely to be some good quarterbacks or some developmental quarterbacks available at the top of round two.
There seems to be some buzz out there, Tony, still about Kirk Cousins and the idea the Steelers could draft or could trade for him. What do you think of that?
Well, you got to make sure you have the salary cap. You got to make sure you can protect him. I think that's more so because you wonder, is Kirk Cousins available considering how Michael Penix did last year and the way that the Falcons expended such early draft capital on him? And there's really no other veteran quarterbacks available. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a nice quarterback. He's made a heck of a lot of money for a guy that's been not great, but has won enough to occasionally get into the playoffs. Obviously, if you're going to trade for him, you know, it's a 1 or 2 year deal with Kirk Cousins.
You think he can still play?
Oh, I think he can still play. You know, I just think that. And this is going to sound absurd, but I think like I said with Mike Tomlin, and even as I reported yesterday, everybody in that Pittsburgh organization seems to really like Mason Rudolph. You know, they like Mason Rudolph to the point where we talked about Aaron Rodgers, and as I wrote about a week ago, Aaron Rodgers is becoming more and more of a headache. It seems that the Steelers don't want to deal with. So I don't know that they're going to bring another guy in from the outside, pay him all that money. If they are able to draft Shedeur Sanders and they still have they have Mason Rudolph there to kind of mentor him moving forward.
Lastly, Tony, last question. If they don't take a quarterback at 21, where can you see them going? What pick would you make at 21? Obviously, depending on if your guy is available, what would be a sensible pick for the Steelers?
Well, you got to see which defensive tackles or defensive linemen, I should say, are available at that spot. You know, is Walter Nolan still on the board? He could go to San Francisco with the 11th pick. Is Derek Harmon of Oregon still on the board? There was some talk about Green Bay, who selects after him taking Derek Harmon. I think that would be a consideration. Kenneth Grant of Michigan. I think they would look to fortify that defensive line with a good young player like the three I mentioned, all guys who have tremendous upside.
Tony, I appreciate the time. Great stuff. People can go to sportskeeda.com to read your stuff and everything that's on that site leading up to the draft. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Limits, I have a question for you coming off that interview. If the Steelers liked Mason Rudolph so much, why didn't they try harder to keep him here last season?
Instead of deciding to flip the keys over to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I fully agree. And
I mean, they didn't know what they were going to do at that point. They didn't know they were going to trade Pickett. Didn't Rudolph go first, or am I mistaken there?
No, he did, but I wonder if it was Mason's decision that he wanted to see if the grass was greener. Maybe it wasn't the Steelers ultimately saying, hey, we'll just let you go, and you know, we don't really have much interest in bringing you back. Maybe it was Mason thinking that he could parlay what he did in the last three games into a starting spot like he did at times for Tennessee, getting a chance to play.
Maybe. I guess you could have fooled me that Tomlin loves him so much, for example. I mean, that's not really what Mason's history here would indicate, is that Mike Tomlin loves him. I think the Steelers were in a spot of abject desperation and decided, yeah, why don't we bring back a guy who at least knows the offense, has been here, and had at least a tiny bit of success when we last saw him. I mean, this idea that, yeah, they really like Mason Rudolph, they think they can win with him, you could have fooled me. But anyway, he left the impression, Tony did, that this is going to be Shedeur Sanders. He left the impression that if it's Mike Tomlin's decision, they will take Shedeur Sanders. And as I told him, it's Mike Tomlin's decision. As one thing we all know about this organization is Tomlin's running it. So I get the feeling, Limits, that unless New Orleans or someone else surprises us early in the draft, I think Shedeur Sanders might just be their next quarterback. You?
And that's what I was saying, that, you know, now when I got this confused with the Browns, that I think is the most likely of a chance that they actually draft a quarterback. Now, is this also that all this talk about Sanders slipping and falling, and sometimes we hear the complete opposite, where, oh, this quarterback is going to be taken a lot higher than we necessarily expected, and then they end up falling in the second round, third round, oh, wait, it's the fourth round, they still haven't been taken yet, why is it? So I do wonder if maybe we're having these discussions with Sanders and ultimately he will be taken at 9 by the Saints, or somebody will move up thinking that they need to do that ahead of the Steelers. So I don't think, it's obviously not a slam dunk, but I would still put the chances of them selecting Sanders below 30%.
Well, let's ask the Batconian Mongoose about that next. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Very curious to get his thoughts on what's going to happen here. There's some other things we need to dive into in the noon hour. There is that Adam Schefter report. I believe it was Schefter who said the Steelers could be one of two teams jumping in on Kirk Cousins. I'll add this, if they get desperate enough. What is it, Limits? You put down it's a $20 million down payment and they take care of the rest?
Not pretty much.
Like buying a damaged car? Is that what we're doing here? They'll strike a deal, they'll haggle a little bit with the salesman and come up with a discounted price for Kirk Cousins?
If they can get Atlanta to eat like a third of the contract and you just take on some of it, that could be a realistic possibility.
Does that come with a bumper-to-bumper warranty on that guy?
It probably should, yes. It should come with a you-like-that warranty.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. It's 11:57. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. There's also a very interesting meeting happening today in Pittsburgh sports between Sully and Kyle Dupas. And I'm very curious to see what happens there, because Dupas didn't exactly have a straight answer yesterday about Sully's future, did he, Limits?
No, he's trying to dupe you and everyone else, according to you.
No, I don't think he's necessarily duping us on this one. I think he's as curious as anybody else as what might come out of this meeting, with people very interested in Sully, notably the New York Rangers.